Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I hope that you've all been praying in the Spirit at least 15 minutes a day and increasing that. And I'm believing that you're praying for our zip codes. Now, this is our fourth week. So this week, all of the various zip codes of the 10, I think we had 10 state zip codes, maybe 11, of all the various states that are on, we're believing for revival in each of the zip codes. Next week, we'll go back to week number one. If you've lost that sheet or you don't have the sheet or you didn't download it, we can put it back up. I'll do it on this evening because I'd have to get it up there now. I'll do it this evening, and you can download it yourself, print it out at your home, and we'll also have some here in case you don't have a printer. But this week, the various states. So if for any reason you don't have that, we're praying for Florida, we're praying for Michigan, we're praying for Louisiana, we're praying for D.C., Virginia, Maryland, we're praying for Pennsylvania, we're praying for Ohio. We're praying for I forgot the last two. There's two others. Georgia. We're praying for Georgia. Hallelujah. Georgia. Yes. And there's another one that escapes me net right now. Anyway. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at one verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This morning, be strong in the Lord. All right. He starts out with finally. Finally, like, okay, this everything else I've said to you, this is the last word, finally. The word finally in the Greek means from now on, from now on. It means that every day, every moment, from now on. Now you've heard the word, now you've known the Lord, now you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, from now on, without fail, from now on, without letting up, without letting down, without giving in, without throwing in the towel, from now on, decide now. Make up your mind now. You're in or you're out. You're part of it or you're not part of it. You're part of the church or you're not part of it. You're part of revival or you're not part of it. Make up your mind. Which direction are you going to go? No longer will you be between two opinions. If God be God, serve him. If the world be God, serve the world. Go with all your heart and serve the world. But if God's God, serve God, but serve God the way God wants, not the way we feel like. Serve God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. Serve God in anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But prior to that, tremendous revival. You know, I tell you all the time, I listen to a lot of different pastors on the radio. They're all local, North Carolina, South Carolina, mostly North Carolina, some South Carolina. And they're all, I love some of them are 85 years old out of Charlotte. There's another one about 80 years old out of somewhere in Lumberton. Another one in Bladenboro. So I listen to all these different, and they're all local. And you know what they're all talking about? And there's one out of St. Paul's, North Carolina, a woman. And they're all talking about the return of the Lord. They're all talking about Revelation, the book of Revelation. They're all talking about these things because the Spirit of God is laying it on everybody's heart about the same thing. Now, each one has a different facet of it. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about what we do before we get there, what we do now, what we do here. What God wants from us, what God wants us to do, why we are here now, and what's going on before the return of the Lord Jesus. So he says, finally, my brethren, from now on, be empowered. That means be strong in the Lord, means be empowered. Be empowered. The wonderful word empowered also means be filled with power. Be filled with power. The word there for be empowered or be filled with power, translated strong, is dunamis. Endunamao, in dunamis. Dunamis, as you know, is the word that Jesus used when he said, but wait for the power of the Spirit to come upon you, for you shall be filled with the power. When the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, that was the power of God. That's dunamis, dunamis power. That power is explosive power. That power is overwhelming power. That power is dynamo power, dunamis power. That's the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're praying in the Holy Spirit more and more each and every day. That's why. Be filled. Now, the be filled here, be filled or be empowered, it's up to us. Because he's talking to Spirit-filled people. So it's not a matter of wait upon the Spirit of God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to baptized people already. Not water baptized. Yeah, they were water baptized too. We're talking about Spirit baptized. He's saying, whatever we need to do to be empowered, whatever we need to do to be in the power of God, do it. Whatever we need to do, do it. We are starting it by praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll go through some more of these in a few moments, but that's the starting point. Now he says, be empowered, be filled with the power. Now, let me read it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. All right, the word in is in there in the Greek, the word in. I don't think I've ever preached on the word in before. It's en, E-N, in Greek. It denotes position. It denotes position. The position, be strong in the Lord. Not just be strong. There are a lot of people that seek to be strong in the Holy Spirit by themselves. We can be strong in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit in the Lord. There's a qualifier there. It denotes position. In the Lord means we are where he wants us to be, not where we want to be, doing what he wants us to do, not what we want to do, and saying what he wants us to say, not what we want to say. We hold our tongue when it needs to be held. We release it when it is of the Spirit of God. In denotes position, but it also denotes something else. This is an interesting word. Instrumentality. Now, if you look this up in the Greek, it'll say that. Any Greek dictionary, it denotes instrumentality. I have no idea what that means, instrumentality. Instrumentality, it means the why. Why you can do what you do. Why you can be who God wants us to be. Why you can be an instrument of the Spirit of God. Instrumentality. Why it works. Why things happen. So the word in, a couple of things. Be empowered in. The position is in the Lord. And that in also tells us why we can be successful. It doesn't tell us why we can fail. Why we can be successful in the things of God. Now it says, be, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, as I mentioned, the position is in the Lord, not out of the Lord, not on our own, not Lone Ranger, in the Lord. If we're in the Lord, where are we? In the church, whether on the line or in person, we're in the church. Now, what is, there's, every one of us, we all have battles every day, okay? I mean, there are battles with ourselves, there are battles of temptation, there are battles of debt, or, you know all the battles. We go over some of the individual battles, battles for our health, battles against COVID, battle this, battle that. We're always battling, but really, the real battle can be boiled down to something very, very simple. The enemy wants to sap our strength. That's the battle. The enemy wants to sap our supernatural strength. If he can get us without the power of the Spirit, he's got us. The only thing that sets us apart from anybody else in this world, other than being saved, is the power of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that's going to get the will of God done is the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick or oppressed of the devil. Doesn't that state it right there? When Jesus came up out of the water, he was filled with the Spirit without measure. Doesn't it state it right there? You see, the Spirit of God is the power of God to do the will of God and establish the kingdom of God. So why would the church be without the Spirit of God and without the power of God? That one fact changes everything and separates us from every other church attender and every other unbeliever. So the enemy knows that. He knows that the only thing he has to fear is the power of God and the saints of God. That is what gives us the weaponry that works. That is what gives us the authority that works. The name of Jesus gives the authority as well, I know. So he tries to sap our strength. And I outlined four simple ways that he tries to sap our strength. Number one, exhaustion. Exhaustion. If he can get us so busy, there are several layers of that. Busy with our jobs, busy with our families, busy with ministry. We knew a pastoral couple. They were in their 70s or 80s, maybe 80s, since I'm getting so old. Let's say 80s or 90s at this point. And we would have a meal together after services. And one of the favorite expressions of Mrs. Jolly, it was Pastor Jolly. One of the favorite expressions was this: there's a lot of healing in a beauty rest mattress. And that's true. The enemy would try to exhaust us, because when we are exhausted, we don't move in the power of God. When we're exhausted, we're not ready to go, to do, and to see, and to be, because we're exhausted. Life tries to get us exhausted. How many yesterday when I picked the kids up from work and I was there asking me, how was your day? And I told them what I did. You know, they're like, you're making us tired. They just worked an 8-hour day. So you're making us tired, you know, with what you did today. Life would seek to exhaust us. All the details of life, all the things of life. And not, as I meant, not just life, but family and family details. You know, some of you probably get all kinds of calls, emails from family members. They're dumping all their troubles on you and telling you, all this is going wrong, all that's going wrong, all this is going down, this is going down. And a lot of it is asking you to pray for them. And you take all that upon yourself, and it can be exhausting when you get all that. Also, and I say ministry, there are so many times when someone would miss church, people, not one individual, because just before leaving for church, they get a phone call of someone who needs ministry. Now, that person probably knew they're going to church, but their problem was more important. If we spend day after day, hour after hour on quote-unquote ministry, whether it's ministry to individuals, ministry in an organization, and we get so exhausted, the enemy has achieved his purpose. We have done good, but the enemy's achieved his purpose overall. We've got to watch that we do not become exhausted by good works. Exhausted doesn't mean, now look, please, don't say Pastor Frank's told us not to do good works, not to work at ministries. I'm not saying that. We have got to be careful. Because generally, you know, if you're doing something good, what's the percentage of people that are doing good things and doing ministry as compared to those who could care less? Infinitesimal, the amount that are. So you tend to be used over and over. In the church, it's the same way. People who are available tend to be used and can even feel a little bit burned out. We don't want that to happen. We don't want you to get burned out. You know, if just think about that for a moment. Burned out. Who's burning right now? The enemy's burning up in hell, right? So you don't want to get burned out. You want to stay fresh and supple in the things of God. That's number one. Number two, what saps our strength? Fear. Fear. Most fear is imagined, you know. Most fear is imagined. Most fear is not something that's real. It's something that you project with your mind, or the enemy projects into your mind. It's an outcome that could or could not happen, but probably won't happen. If you're a born-again believer, you're saved, you know the Spirit of God. It's worry. It's worry, it's fear of this, fear of not having this, fear of not having enough, fear of this happening, fear of that happening, and that fear can drive you to distraction. And those fears, cumulatively, can be exhausting. If you have to think about this, and think about that, and think about that, and worry about this, and worry about that, and worry about that, you can get exhausted and unable to move in the Spirit of God, in the power of God. For our younger people that are in college or studying, fear you're not going to get it done, fear the project's not going to be finished, fear it's not going to be accepted, fear you're going to get a bad grade. The enemy, you know, you're not free from the enemy using you just because you're not some old people like these old people here. The enemy will find his own way to cause fear in your hearts. Fear of your future, fear of not having a future, fear of making the wrong choice. All of those things, the enemy will use them to exhaust us. Number three, The words of our mouths. The words of our mouths. We can talk ourselves into exhaustion. We can talk ourselves into being extremely tired, worn out every single day. The words of our mouths. What are we saying? What are we saying? You know, that is so very important. And I emphasize that in a lot of my messages, but we really need to understand how important that is. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I quoted that earlier from Proverbs. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to speak positively, powerfully, expectantly, like Jesus. Speak like Jesus. Speak his word. Speak the word. The word of God in our mouths is powerful. The word of God, that's what where he says it should be. That's the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit that we see later on in Ephesians 6 is the word of God. And where it says the word of God, that is the Greek word for the spoken word of God. So it's not just thinking about the word, it's speaking the word. Each and every time a doubt or a fear comes into your heart, substitute the word of God and speak the word of God instead, and you will see that you will be more refreshed, more energized, and more ready to go for the kingdom of God every single time. Without fail. Without fail. Try it. Just get a few scriptures and have them ready to speak. Put them on a 3x5 card. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your car. And speak it when you begin. And also, listen to some good music. Good Christian music. And some good messages. You know, just listen to those things and let the good word of God, the rich word of God, fill your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. If we are filling, and that leads us into the next point. Next point is where the enemy tries to sap our strength, our focus. If you're focused on Hollywood, you're going to talk like Hollywood. If you're focused on horror, you're going to talk like horror. You know how, I think it wasn't it a few years ago, zombies were a big deal. They're not a big deal anymore, right? Zombies. But zombies, there are zombies everywhere, right? There were zombie TV programs, zombie online programs, zombie this, zombie that. Everything was zombies. You know, and people got zombie conscious. And so they started doing pictures of themselves online as zombies. They started posing as zombies. And I'll never forget, when I was, before I was saved and I was in high school, I went to visit my sister in college. She was attending university in Philadelphia. And so I went to visit her, and I was staying there, and I had a friend, a guy with me, high school bud, and we were there visiting, and they said, we're going to go out to a movie tonight, and it's a midnight show. And I said, okay. So they took us to this movie, and it was called Night of the Living Dead. And it was an old black and white zombie movie. And this is back in the 60s, 1960s. And so, but what was so funny about it, it was a pretty freaky movie, but everybody was laughing and making comments because it was a college show. So everybody was, you know, they're joking with it. So it wasn't as scary as it could have been. But when we went to leave, I didn't realize they had an early show. We went to the midnight show. When we went to leave, people who had been to the early show, I don't know where they'd got this, but they got bones from butchers and they got red paint and they were outside the theater banging on the glass with the bones for us to come out. You know, and had blood, like looking like blood all over them. Yeah, I would have never thought of doing something like that. I thought that was very imaginative. But the reason I'm telling you that is because if we're focused on things like that, we become like that. We become like, now I know they weren't really zombies. They really didn't want to eat us. I understand that. But the point is we can be zombie conscious or we can be Christ conscious. Which one do you want? Blood and guts, or life and resurrection. So our focus, the enemy can exhaust us if we're focused on all the negative things in life, in our country, the negative things. We are going to be so distraught about our country and the people of our country and the right versus wrong and the left versus right and the liberal versus conservative and the black and the white and the Chinese and the Native American and this was not handled right and our history is wrong and we got to change our history, got to tear this down and tear that down and we got to do that. We're going to be exhausted and so focused on the natural, we're no good to the things of the Spirit. So the enemy will try to direct our focus. Focusing on things that really don't matter to the kingdom of God. They may be important in the natural, but not to the kingdom of God. We are a chosen generation. We have a destiny. We are a destined people. We have a call of God, and we have the Spirit of God on the inside because we have a mission. We cannot abandon our mission because our focus shows us other things that are not as important, but seem important. What increases our strength? What increases our? It's the opposite. Number one, rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest. And I don't just mean coming to church and nodding off. I'm not talking about that. When I was preaching in the storefront, 9th Avenue, preaching in the storefront years ago, and I was listening to Fred Price. I loved Fred Price. And Fred Price used to have this deal when he was a young preacher. If anybody fell asleep in one of his services, he'd make everybody stand up. He'd make the whole congregation stand up. And he'd even say, you know, I'd watch it on TV and say, well, I see somebody sleeping. Okay, everybody stand up, stand up. And make everybody stand up. So here I am. I'm going to be like Fred Price. I'm a young preacher. And if I ever see somebody, I'm going to make everybody stand up. So I'm preaching one day, and in the very back row, leaning against the wall, chair leaned back, head against the wall, there's a guy, mouth open, sleeping. So I'm getting upset now. I'm getting angry, and I see myself as Fred Price, and I'm going to make everybody stand up. And I got to preaching real good and forgot all about the guy. I just forgot about him. I don't know what happened. I just forgot. And it comes to the end of the service, and I take the altar call. Do you know that guy, as soon as I said, if you want to receive Jesus, he sits up, hand shoots up, he's the first one to get saved. Taught me a lesson. That taught me a lesson. What works for Fred Price may not work for me. So preach what God gives me to preach and let him preach what God gives him to preach. That guy gave his life to the Lord. And what a mess it would have been if I had made everybody stand up. Oh, there's somebody sleeping in the back. Everybody stand up. He probably would have walked out of the church. You know, things, the Lord has a way of handling things. I'll share another one from that storefront. It was great. We had a lady who would come to counsel with me because her husband was an alcoholic and didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord and just was really disruptive and abusive. And anyway, she said, what can I do? What can I do? I said, well, we're having a church picnic. Invite him to the picnic so he can see we're all normal. I'm speaking about all of you, of course. And so they invited him to the picnic, and his reaction was, these are really nice people. And like a week later, he comes to church. Sits in the front row. I'm like, I am so excited. And then I saw one of our little old church ladies come in and tell him to move because he was in her seat. But he did get saved. Hallelujah. In spite of that, he gave his life to the Lord. So, what increases our strength? Rest. Church attendance is rest. When you come, now, okay, you might say, Pastor Frank, not the way you preach. I don't get any rest when I'm in church. I just get all excited and... Okay, but that's the natural. But in the inside, you're getting rest. Your spirit is getting rest. Your body might be stirred up, but your spirit's getting rest. I guarantee. This is food for your soul. Your spirit is at rest when you're in church, when you're in attendance. That's the number one place. That's why the Word of God says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because you get built up in strength and in faith. So rest. Number two, what did I say? The first one was exhaustion. All right, now the counter to that is rest. Second one was fear. The counter to that is faith. You empower yourself through faith. How do you empower yourself through faith? Exercising it. Exercise it in small ways. Don't wait for this big mountain to move. Start moving an anthill, you know? Start moving something small. Start believing. Don't wait to battle cancer. Start battling that cold or the flu. Don't wait for something major to go down. Start using your faith now and develop it and grow it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Don't be anywhere the Word is not being preached. Now I'm talking, I'm not talking about your work, your office. I'm talking about churches. A lot of people, I mean, now you can listen to anything online. There's all kinds of messages online. There's a lot of messages you shouldn't be listening to. Listen to God's Word. Listen to people who are preaching the Word of God. And feed on that, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word. Faith also comes by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why we're encouraging everybody to pray in the Holy Spirit more than 15 minutes a day, every single day. Praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. All right? The third one was the words of our mouths. And what is it this way? The words of our mouths. Same exact thing. If we're speaking words that are holy, words that are pure, words that are powerful, words that are faith, these words are seeds. These seeds go into our hearts as we hear. And these seeds bear fruit. Fruit of power, fruit of faith, fruit of confidence. We are to be confident, not weak-minded. We are to be strong, not wishy-washy. We are to be on the Word of God, not on the sand. We are to know the Word of God and not compromise in any way. We are not to give in, throw in the towel, or quit. We are to go forward in faith. We are not to put it in reverse. We're not to sit down, lay down, and quit. We are to go forward and take the land, set the captives free, and tear down the gates of hell. The only way we can do that is with the power of God. The enemy would try, by the words of our mouth, to take the power out of our lives, and we, through the words of our mouths, put the power back in our lives. The power of life and death in the tongue. That's an example. And the fourth was focus, focus. Same, focus. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the Word. Focus on the mission. Focus on souls. Focus on miracles. Focus on breakthrough. Focus on overcoming, not being overcome. Focus on overcoming temptation, not falling, not succumbing to it. Focus on being strong in the Lord. Focus on knowing God. Focus on drawing strength from God. They that do know Him will accomplish great things. Think about some of the people in the Word of God. Think about Peter. Peter was frail. Peter was weak. I'm not talking about physically. He was weak spiritually. He was afraid. He was fearful. He denied Jesus and all the things. We know all those things about Peter. Peter would stumble with his words. He was always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. He was a picture of humanity. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens? He stands up. He preaches. He doesn't care. He gets thrown in prison. He gets delivered from prison. He comes out. They say, "Do not speak or preach in the name of Jesus." He says, "Sorry, boys, but we got to believe God, not you," and goes right back out and preaching the Word of God. He was empowered because he was in God. He was in Christ. Think about Philip and Stephen. What were they called to do? They were called to help out in the church. They were called not to preach, not to teach, but to help out in the church. They were called to organize, to distribute. They were called to serve. And what happened to them? Stephen, a man full of power. The Word of God says full of grace and power. He was full of power. He preached the Word of God. He was the first martyr. Now, I know that's not a really good positive example for any of you to step out and be the first martyr. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about how he was transformed and changed. And what about Philip? Same thing. Philip goes down to Samaria, preaches a revival down there, and the whole city gets saved. There's signs and wonders, and then he gets taken out by the Lord down to Gaza, and he saves an entire nation through the eunuch that is traveling down. And so Ethiopia becomes the first Christian nation in Africa, and up until very recently, it remained a Christian nation. I mean, we know the Marxists took over there, but it's the only one. I mean, for a thousand years, a couple thousand years, a Christian nation in Africa. And all because of Philip, and all because of the Ethiopian eunuch going on down, back down. What about Paul? Paul was the original terrorist, right? Paul was arresting people, breaking up churches. And the Word of God says that the church in Jerusalem was about 7,000 people before Paul took it on. And he destroyed it. He destroyed it. Everybody fled. They all ran. They left. They went all over. They were scattered everywhere. Only the apostles remained. So can you imagine a mega church of 7,000 people going down to 12?
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m., and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.